This may be somewhat of a simple message, but I can't remember hearing a sermon about it really ever, although I'm sure there have been sermons about it before. But I want to talk to you tonight about listening. And you might be surprised to find that the Bible addresses that issue with listening. There are a lot of qualities and traits, characteristics that a child of God should have, and the way we carry ourselves and behave, you know. And you may say, well, you know, a child of God, again, should be kind. We know that. That's kind of a slam dunk. You know, a child of God should be forgiving, should be gracious and merciful. And the Bible gives us, you know, just an endless list of the behaviors that you should see in a child of God. But you don't really ever stop to think that being a listener, as being a characteristic that a child of God needs to be able to exercise. And we'll look here just a little bit. It's a reflection of God when you find somebody that is a good listener. When you think about the functions of hearing, and I know there's a difference between hearing and listening, but I will use them interchangeably tonight. So I'm, you know, don't throw a tomato at me for not addressing those. But the function of hearing or listening is critical to communication, is it not? And then you've got the function of speaking. And those two functions are so important when we are communicating and discussing things with each other. Now, both are given to us by God. Both are beautiful and both work very well. But they do not work well together when they are exercised at the same time. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to talk to somebody at the same time they're talking to you, and both of you are talking and both of you are trying to hear? It just kind of short circuits and it doesn't work real well. So the functions of hearing and speaking, you know, are something that we need to think about as Christians. And tonight I specifically want to focus on the hearing and the listening. I know I have trouble sometimes if I'm in a restaurant and I'm trying to talk to somebody that's at the table with us. If there's a lot of noise around us in the restaurant, whether it's a bunch of TVs playing or music or just a lot of conversations, or maybe you got a table where there's a loud talker. Y'all ever seen those type of people? Their voice, I don't know how they do it, but their voice just carries. And sometimes it's very difficult for me to really listen to what this person is saying because there's so much noise going on around me. And so looking at the subject of listening as a child of God, you know, there are obviously challenges to that. And again, I feel a little funny preaching about this because if there's ever a beam in my eye, this would be one of the categories that I struggle sometimes as a listener. And the challenges of listening to people, you know, can vary, but our attention spans, I really feel like, are not what they used to be. I think that we have been conditioned so much in today's time with exposure to 15 or 20 or 30 second, you know, videos or clips, that our brain has somehow, you know, got used to every 30 seconds or so I'm changing gears. And I'm not really focusing on one thing for a long period of time. It's, oh, here's a quick little video here, or here's a quick little this. And you just kind of get used to it's constantly changing. And I think that's affected our attention spans, where it's difficult to sit there and listen to something, maybe like a preacher like me, for 30 or 45 minutes or an hour. It's something that is abnormal to us now, which way back when, you know, I wonder if some of the folks that I know, if Uncle Ball were here, he could probably tell you, but what it was like before you had television, when there was no television in your house, no phone, no radio. I imagine those people in that day were probably much better listeners than we are today, because they didn't have all of those things that kind of, you know, made their attention span somewhat evolve into something that was very, very short. And we're obviously challenged to listen by distractions. That, I think that's one of my main problems. I've probably got some sort of, you know, ADD or something like that, but you know, somebody be talking to you and then all of a sudden something starts going on over here. And you ever tried to talk to a distracted listener? It can be it can almost hurt your feelings a little bit, you know, and I'm sure I probably hurt your feelings some, but, you know, somebody's trying to talk to you about something, and, you know, the next thing you know, you're looking over here, and, oh, what was that over there, and there's not a lot of eye contact, and it's just constantly looking at their phone, or here's one of my favorites is you're in the middle of talking to somebody, and I've done this before, and they pick up the phone, and they start texting, and they're going, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, and you're like, you have no idea what I'm saying. That's a distracted listener, and I'm going somewhere with this, so, and sometimes I think we have a challenge in listening is because we just are on information overload. And that's one thing that I really despise about the current society that we have is that it's just a constant influx of information and things that are, you know, put into your mind and heavy on your mind. And if you ever can find a moment with a clear mind, the next thing you know, you turn around and here's another article, here's another thing, here's another issue. And we're just so constantly bombarded with information that I think sometimes it makes it hard for us to really stop and pay attention to, you know, any certain issue because there's just too much coming at us at one time. But having said that, listening is something, even though we've got challenges that we face as children of God to listen, it is a characteristic of a child of God that we should work hard to cultivate. It's the exception when I go to talk to somebody, and again, I'm the bad guy here, okay? I'm the guy you would be talking about if you were standing up here. It's the exception now to go up and begin to talk to somebody and for them really and truly to have your undivided attention and to intently be listening to what you're saying. Most of the time you go up and talk to somebody, you can clearly see they are either just not listening, period, or they are trying to find a place to jump in to tell you what they want to say, or they're developing some thoughts to respond to something you said at the very beginning of what you were saying, and that's the only thing they've heard, and you can just tell that they're not really listening. They're there and they're in conversation with you, but they're not really listening, and when you stop and talk to somebody and you can tell they're really listening, it's refreshing to me. It's refreshing to see that. Now, in James, the first chapter, I want to look at just a few verses here that talk about these things. In James, the first chapter, the Bible tells us, it says in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." That's pretty cut and dry right there. That means that we should be, you know, swift to hear. That makes me think about, you know, an athlete that, or maybe a football player where they're doing agilities and they're trying to teach quickness. And they teach you, you need to be up on your toes and you need to be reacting quick. And you need to, you know, work on that agility right there. That we should be very, very quick to listen and to hear. And very, very slow in how we respond. And I read it, it was an old Jewish proverb that said, if a word is worth a dollar, silence is worth $2. And I thought, that's a pretty good saying. And the Bible has a lot to say about being silent, even though that's not quite my subject tonight. But when it comes to developing this characteristic, you're thinking, okay, I need to be very quick to not talk and to let the other people talk, and very, very slow in how I answer and respond. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the Zootopia movie where the sloths, y'all seen that movie?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about that kind of slow, okay, unless you want somebody to hit you in the head with a hammer, okay? But we should process things, but we're in a society now where it's just a constant, a vomiting of their thoughts and ideas just coming all out. And you really see it on Facebook. You know, people will, you know, maybe say something on Facebook, and before you know it, people are commenting like crazy, and you think, there's no way they've had the time to sit and meditate over this response. They just, whoosh. You know, I saw one the other day, and, you know, somebody put something on there, and just immediately people start, and good people, you know, that were just putting all these comments and advice out there. And I stopped back and I thought, you know, looking at this situation, there is a lot of good intention in these comments trying to help and guide this person, but none of them were actually biblical. And I thought, if they would, and these are people that would not intentionally do something unscriptural, but they never just took the time to stop and hear and listen and think and maybe hold it in the light of God's word and see what the Lord says about those things. So in James, the first chapter, says we should be swift to hear and slow to speak. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes, let me flip over there real quick, another place that says something similar, it says that we should be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And it says, be not rash with thy mouth. Again, that goes back and points to that when hearing and speaking are set beside each other in the balances, that hearing should be the weightier thing. And this should be the thing that we focus more on, listening. I know, I think it's Proverbs, the 18th chapter, it says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That is tremendous advice from the Word of God, that before you, I would never encourage you to be very hasty in throwing out your opinions, or very hasty in throwing out your thoughts. The Bible says that there's no hope for a man that's hasty in his words. Okay, I've got too much of a deceitful heart, and my brain, which is my computer, is too corrupt. And sometimes that if I don't really slow down and listen and ponder and think, then I won't have the proper filters in place, and who knows what comes out. So when the Bible tells us that we should hear a matter before we answer it, how many times do you see somebody spouting off their thoughts and opinions on something, you know, immediately after they've gotten some of the information? You know, we all do that, you know, and it's, again, you go back, I may have shared this, you know, before. If you have ever watched some of these Dateline shows that, you know, it's almost like a whodunit kind of show, and they'll set you up with all these facts. They'll go through that, and you kind of learn how they do things to now. It doesn't get you as bad, but you know, used to be, they would lay this thing out for you, and halfway through it, you know, me and Tiffany would be stomping around the house being like, he did it! He is guilty! But then all of a sudden, they give you the rest of it. And you're like, oh my goodness, it's not him, it's him. Well, what were we doing? We were speaking before we'd heard the whole matter. And chances are, in most situations with your friends, and maybe even with your family, chances are you haven't and never will hear the whole story. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Chances are you will never fully hear most of the matters or situations that are going on with the people around you. What does that tell you you ought to do when it comes to speaking about them? You probably just need to keep it to minimal or nothing. Because chances are, you don't. What's the saying? You got three sides, his side, her side, and the truth. And most of the time, you only get one side of that. So be very careful in throwing out your opinions on things before you hear the matter. You need to listen. And sometimes to gather that information might take a long period of time. The Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter. I like this when I read over this. I think it's the 13th chapter. That it was a method of how we should go about learning. And the first one was to inquire and to search, then to search, and then to ask. Inquire, search, and ask. And those things, all three of those things point to we are looking for someone else to pour information into us. Inquire, search, and ask. And oftentimes we're not inquiring, searching, and asking. We are, you know, everybody wants to be heard nowadays. I don't know if you've noticed that. And listen, I'm not at all being critical about podcasts and things like that. Sometimes I think I wouldn't mind starting a podcast sometime. But have you noticed that everybody wants a platform and everybody wants to be heard? And the problem with that is we've got so many people doing it, it just kind of becomes white noise for most people. But now, there's a guy that me and my boys like to watch. Watch this guy on YouTube. He's a nobody from Kentucky. Okay, and Tiffany would tell you he is the most obnoxious sounding person in the world, and she begs us not to watch it, but me and the boys are fascinated by it. because he's always doing outdoor stuff, and he's just, I'm telling you, he's just a kid, probably 20 years old, and he tinkers around in his backyard, and he goes on these little, you know, hunting and fishing, and we love him. And that guy has got so many viewers and subscribers, and he's become famous for doing nothing. And we love him, you know. And so everybody is trying to get a platform, and everybody's trying to be heard. Very few are trying to listen and learn. Everybody wants to be the one talking. But inquiring and searching and asking, another thing that I read in the Bible about hearing, it says, or speaking more specifically, it says that a fool uttereth all his mind. Have you ever heard somebody say that, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to speak my mind now. They might as well be holding up a neon sign that has arrows pointing to it that says, I'm a fool, according to God's word. A person that utters all of his mind is a fool. And I was talking to a guy the other day, or several months back, and he and I were kind of on opposite sides of the fence about some things, and we were talking about it, and not in a real argumentative way. He said, I'm gonna tell you what I think. And I said, are you telling me that you don't have enough self-control to refrain from letting what you think pour out of your mouth? And he just kind of stepped back and looked at me like, I've never really thought about it that way. Because that's our human nature. We want to just spew and spout things off without really stopping and listening and processing things. So, do you ever find yourself not listening? And ask yourself, why am I not listening? And it could be just to me. It could be me and you standing here talking after church, and you notice that you're just kind of drifting during our conversation, and you're really not listening to what I'm saying. Why is that? Well, again, sometimes it's an overload of input, you know, and I'll pick on my boys a little bit here. But sometimes, you know, we're very close, best buddies in the world. But sometimes I'll have had, you know, a day at work or something on my mind, or maybe I'm just trying to meditate on some things to preach, and we'll be going down the road, and it'll be, you know, I wish I had a question counter. You know, how many questions come at you, and it's just one after another. And sometimes I have to stop and say, guys, I love you. I said, but if you don't want me to inadvertently start ignoring you, you got to let my mind and ears rest a little bit. You ought to do that as parents. Sometimes you just got to let me think and let me just process some stuff for a minute. And so sometimes I quit listening to them just because I'm overloaded with input. And we are, as I've already said, we're overloaded with input. Everywhere you turn and you look, you know, people say, I can't believe you'd want to go out there and sit in a tree stand all this time and, you know, and just sit there and just, hey, it's great. Deer or no deer, to be able to meditate and think and process all the things that you have heard. Sometimes we quit listening because maybe it's repetitive. Have you ever had somebody that maybe has a problem or an issue, and every single time you see them, it's the same story every time? Hey, how you been? Oh, you know, my back's hurting. Next week, how you been? Oh, you know, my back. And eventually, you kind of just quit listening to them. You know, those are struggles and those are challenges. Sometimes we quit listening because what we're hearing is harmful. Now, that's a good time to not listen. If there are things, or if there are people you're around, or there are influences in your life that are pumping things in through your ears into your head that are negative for you, now that's a good time to stop listening. The Bible says, be swift to hear. That's talking about hearing the right things and hearing the good things. And so think about it. In your day to day, let's just take today, how much of what went into your ears was a spiritual godly influence? How much of what went into your ears was just kind of worldly white noise? How much that went into your ears was maybe some negative influences through the media or the radio or something like that into your ears? If you really stop and think about it, the percentage of things that go into our ears and into our brain that are good godly influences are probably pretty small. And I'm not saying that you're going out hunting things up that are bad influences, but the time that we stop and take and say, hey, I'm turning everything off and I'm going to stop for a minute and I'm just going to meditate and listen to the Lord and I'm going to process the things that I've been hearing from my friends and family. How often do we do that? It's probably not a whole lot. Now, let me get going and close this up here pretty quick. The reason I want to talk to you about listening, number one, it's a characteristic of a child of God. If you are not a good listener, if you're talking to somebody and you're constantly wanting to interrupt and to put your own thoughts in it and to respond to it, and you're just constantly ready with your words, you might want to consider stepping back and listening. Because believe it or not, it is refreshing to a child of God to have somebody that calmly and intently listens. Why do you think that is? That's because there is a God that dwells inside of us who intently and purposefully listens to us. And when we have somebody do that for us, I believe it resonates with the Spirit of God inside of us and it refreshes us. We don't want to be constantly interrupted by people. We want somebody to sit down and listen to us like the Lord would listen to us. Now, if you remember, and I can't quite remember the name of the song that Brother Tim wrote out of Revelations 8. I think it's called The Heavens Still to Listen. Is that the name of it? Have you ever read in Revelations the 8th chapter talking about God being a listener? You know, I don't particularly enjoy talking to people that I don't feel like are listening. You know, you feel like this is just a waste of my time. I've even been talking to people, and I'm sure I've done the same to them. I've been talking to people, and I could tell that they were not with me and distracted by something else. I've actually even stopped mid-sentence and just kind of started to walk off, and it never registered with them. And in a way, that grieves you as a person. When somebody's not listening to you, it really makes you feel unimportant. What if God listened to us like that? What if God was as unreliable as a listener as we are? What if you thought, you know, do you ever, which I read, you know, the Babylon Bee, which is like a satire of, you know, religious type things. I don't know where they keep getting these jokes from. I mean, it is one after, I mean, they are incredible jokes. But I read one the other day where the title of it was, Man that hasn't prayed in a week or gone to church in a month, upset because he feels like God doesn't hear him. You know, I thought, that's pretty clever. Now, they'll hurt your feelings sometimes, but they're very clever, you know. But when I go to the Lord in prayer, I want to feel like he's listening. I want to feel like he's paying attention to me. And I think oftentimes about the story in Mark, the 10th chapter, where of blind Bartimaeus. If you're familiar with that, it's a man that is blind, and he sits on the street corner as a beggar, and he gets word that Jesus is coming through the city and coming down the street. And so obviously this man is blind. He doesn't know what he looks like. He doesn't 100% know when he's passed and is close to him and when he is within earshot. But he sits there, and as in his mind, as he feels like, okay, my timing is probably good now, that the Lord is probably in front of me, he's probably within earshot, and I'm going to begin to cry out to him. And he begins to call out in a loud voice saying, Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, Son of David, be merciful to me. And every time I read that, the picture, this is a silly picture, I know, but, you know, for any of you guys that have ever turkey hunted, and you've been out early in the mornings, and you're waiting on a turkey to gobble. That's what you're looking for. Early in the morning, it's not quiet. Birds have just started chirping. And you might be walking to your spot, but you're listening very, very intently. And sometimes we'll be walking through the woods and we're kind of trying to creep to where we want to get. And we'll be, you know, every step you take, you're listening. All of a sudden, you'll stop and you'll go, did you hear that? Was that a turkey? And that's a silly picture, but I imagine in my head, that picture when I think about Jesus coming down those streets is that he's not listening for a turkey, but the ears of the Lord are always listening for the cries of his people. And as he's walking down through those streets, I can imagine him stopping and saying, did y'all hear that? That was the cry of one of my children begging for mercy. And I'm going to go tend to it. Now, what if the Lord was distracted? If anybody could claim overload input, it would have been the Lord. What if the Lord was distracted or was just too overloaded and just said, I'm sorry, Bartimaeus, I just didn't really hear you. I really wasn't paying attention. I was more focused on maybe telling you something than hearing what you needed to tell me. But God is a listener. And look, God is so much above and beyond a listener. Romans, the 8th chapter, the Bible tells us, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I want you to think about that for a second. One of the things that frustrated me when our children were very little is they couldn't tell you what was wrong with them. Maybe, you know, you got a baby here and it's crying. Okay, the baby's fed, baby's clean, doesn't have a fever, and everything seems to be in order. We've checked all the boxes and he's still screaming or she's still screaming. I wish they could just tell me what was wrong with them. I can remember Tiffany and I having that conversation. Aren't you glad that the Lord does not look down on us as crying babies, unable to communicate with Him why our hearts were truly broken? Well, there was nobody that could interpret for my children what the problem was. We just had to keep guessing or just wait. I guess in their minds, I say, well, this is going nowhere. I'll quit crying. But the Lord doesn't look down on us like that. He has a translator, if you will, which is the Spirit of God. So not only is the Lord intently listening to the cries of His children, when the cries of those children might sound incoherent babblings of some baby, the Spirit of God intercedes and says, if you'll let me say it this way, Lord, let me tell you what He's saying. Let me tell you what He's trying to communicate with you. And it says, in groanings that cannot be uttered. That is the best listener, right? Not only does he listen, he can. You ever had somebody talk to you and, you know, and they get tongue-tied, or maybe they're just not, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're making absolutely zero sense. I'm glad the Lord doesn't have that problem. That not only does he stop and listen, and again, back to Revelation, the 8th chapter, the Bible says that there was silence in heaven for a space of half of an hour. And if you read further, it says, you know, why was there silence in heaven? Why did the angels stand still? And it's because the prayers of the saints were coming up before God as sweet incense. Well, what is a prayer? It's us speaking to the Lord. And on His end, it's Him receiving and hearing those. And in that picture there, what you see is the silence of heaven, so the Lord can intently listen and hear to the prayers of the saints. I know that He doesn't have to have silence to do that, but it helps us understand it when He wrote it that way. Does it not? There was silence in heaven. Now, last thing here. Does God ever stop listening? He does. He does stop listening. I talked to you about the reasons we stop listening. I may stop listening because I can't process all the words right now. Or, you know, it may be that, you know, I'm just too distracted, or you're being so repetitive. But for whatever reason, I've kind of cut my ears off. And you say, oh, well, the Lord will never stop listening. Well, the Bible says that He does. And if you look in, let's see, in Isaiah, the first chapter, in verse 15, I think it was, it says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Now, that sounds to me like a God that has stopped listening. Why has He stopped listening? He says, because your hands are full of blood. He's speaking here about people that are being rebellious against him. People that have continually gone on to do things against what the Lord has instructed them to do. And eventually the Lord, and this is not the only place that says this, eventually the Lord says, okay, when you pray and I hear that crying over here, I'm not listening. It also says in the Psalms, I think it is, the 66th chapter, in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that means to regard there means to intently study and look at. If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says also that he that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So, in conclusion, I want to be the type of person that if you are talking to, you feel like I'm listening to you like the Lord would listen to his people. That I am somebody that is swift to hear, to lend an ear, and to let you express the things that are on your mind. I want you to be able to look at me and say, he is swift to hear and he's slow to speak, just like my Lord. I want to be the type of person that when I go to the Lord in prayer, my prayers are as the same prayer as Bartimaeus's was. That it's the Lord's ear is sensitive to it and he hears it and he stops and he listens. I don't want to be the type of person that the Lord says, you know, your hands are full of blood. You have regarded iniquity in your heart. You've turned away your ear from hearing the law, and when you send your prayers up, they're going to be as abominations to me. I want the Lord to listen. I want to be a person that listens. Now, again, the Bible, as I said earlier, the saying that if a word is worth a dollar, silence is worth $2. I would say if a word is worth a dollar, listening to somebody is worth $2. It's very important and very vital. My dad told me, probably the best advice. He's given me a lot of advice. Probably the best advice my dad has ever given me was before I got married. I think the morning that I got married. I went turkey hunting. The morning before I got married, we were getting married like at 2 o'clock or I don't know, something like that. And he and I went turkey hunting together. And he was telling me that he said, there is no substitute in your marriage for open, honest communication. And I'll never forget that. As long as my mind is sound, there was no substitute in your marriage for open, honest communication. Well, in order for that to be effective and to be present, both of you have got to be swift to hear and slow to speak. There's no place in a marriage, there's no place in a friendship, there's no place in any relationship where you're both constantly cramming thoughts and ideas down each other's throat. I know that's simple, but maybe 20-something years from now, one of these kids will say, you know what, I don't remember anything Brother Luke ever preached on, but I remember that time he preached on listen. And maybe that'll be profitable to you. So as you go out of here, and you're running through the community, be swift to hear and slow to speak, because that's an attribute of the Lord.